Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Good afternoon. This is Mills on Radio 1. Very exciting day today. I've got a brand new record of the week, which I cannot wait to hoist upon you. Also, Kings of Leon and Saturdays in this half hour. But the big news is, after 5 o'clock... the actual legend that is Steve Carell is going to be live in this studio. How exciting is that?
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Hey, Becky.
Hello.
You alright?
Yes. What's that smirk for?
Nothing. Did you see Usher on X Factor?
No, I couldn't watch.
Really?
But I got so many tweets of people going, hey, Daddy's performance is amazing. Are you watching Daddy on the telly?
Didn't really sing much, but he was dancing. And when I was watching him, I was thinking, yep, he's doing the dance for Becky there.
What sort of dance was it?
All sorts. Now, here's the thing. Have you been to that clothes shop? And they have them in a lot of major cities, including the one that we live in. Have you been to the clothes shop where there's often a queue to get in, and as you go into the shop, when you finally get in, there are some people who go on the door, sup, guys? And you go, sup. Now, I've got a little thing. I went into...
I don't think they have this in Somerset.
No, they don't. I was, like I said, major
big
towns
cities.
And cities.
So
yeah.
It's a shop.
It's a
where
shop.
You have to queue to get in.
Yeah, but unlike...
And then when you're on the door, they go, sup, and
sup,
you
guys.
Go, sup.
Yeah.
And is that the code to get you in?
Yeah, because it's like a really cool shop. And
what
the people
when you
work
get inside?
There, people who work there are really cool. Well, here's the thing. When you get inside, it's unlike any other shop that you've ever been to, because you want to look at the clothes that they've got on display.
Oh, is this the really dark one?
But you can't see them because yes. You're in almost complete darkness. And it's just doing my head in. And you feel like saying, OK, sup to you. We're not in America. Also, could you turn the lights on, maybe? Because I would actually like to see the clothes at some point. And turn the music down, because we're not in a club.
Do you know why I don't ever go in those shops? It's because the clothes are way too small for me. The girls' ones in those shops, they don't like fat people.
Yeah,
I'm not even fat, but they don't like people who are over, like, a size 8.
What I see, I'm never a medium in those shops.
No, you triple XL.
Yeah.
I just go in there and unfold all the clothes that they've spent ages doing on the display.
And then walk out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thoroughly depressing experience.
A protest for all people, like, plus size 10.
The Scott Mills Daily.
All right, Jack.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm in Nottingham.
What are you saying?
Pardon?
What are you saying?
Well, basically, my granddad went into that shop and he offered to fix the lights.
Aww.
Your granddad went in there?
Yeah, he went to buy me a top and he couldn't see anything.
So I was like, right, if you need me to switch the lights on or fix them, I can do that for you.
Yeah,
that is legendary. What's your granddad's name?
Granddad, yeah.
Yeah, fair play. I like that a lot. Loads of people that have had the experience of the lights and the loud music but feel a bit upset because they've not had a... Sup, guys?
I love it that you and Jack's granddad have so much in common. You're almost the same.
Yeah, same.
Is it just when you get really old, maybe? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. There's quite a lot of people who have got annoyed about the lack of lighting.
Well, you and Jack's granddad.
And the smell. Love you, Jack. See you later.
Love you. Can I say hello to my brother?
Go on, then.
Hi, Sam.
Bye.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
Right, we need to get moving with this Songs to Poo To compilation album. I said about this a while ago. There's a compilation for every type of song now. There's dinner party songs, there's barbecue songs, there's housework songs. So we're getting in on it by having a Songs to Poo To album. Thank you for all your suggestions. We've got some more ones to go through, which I think should make it onto the album. Here's the thing. Somebody at some point, one of us, is going to have to call the artists who were thinking of getting on this album and breaking the news to them that we want them to be on Songs to Poo To. We want their song featured on it. And I nominate
that.
You.
No, I just said you could do that first. But you've got more free time. I've got to do stuff for the show, so you don't come in till 2. So what are you doing before that?
Well, I've got better things to do than call up Agnes and see if we can use Release Me on Songs to Poo To.
I'll fit a few in on...
Okay, well, should we half and half it?
Yeah, okay.
Deal?
Yeah, I'll take the ones most likely to say yes, and you can have the ones that are going to be a bit shit.
Because obviously, before you use anyone's music on a compilation album, you have to get some kind of permission.
Do you, though? Oh, maybe we could do sound-alikes like those shops do.
Oh, yeah.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
People wouldn't mind. They wouldn't know the difference.
Not original artists.
Or live versions, like the ones you get free with the paper.
Mm.
You know, when you think, oh, brilliant, yeah, I got the best of such and such.
That is a way around it if we get stuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, Songs to Putu, it's coming along fine, thanks. And here is one of the ones that we want to be on there.
Something inside so strong. I know that I can make it.
Thank you if you've sent in these suggestions. There's been loads on the email over the weekend. Now, this next one is definitely going on there. But you might not know why at first. Sounds like it should be on the Top Gear compilation album.
This is like when, yeah, like a road trip in America or something. I don't know this one.
It's called Big Log.
That's not, is it?
Yeah, and I don't know why, but it is called Big Log, so it definitely needs to be on.
That's my favourite poo phrase ever.
Next.
Get ready for the launch.
DJ Jean, of course.
Who suggested, if you suggested these, you're wrong. Really wrong.
Here's another one. Jojo. And Metro Station. Here's a good one.
Now it's solid. Solid as a rock.
And finally.
Splish splash. I jumped back in the bear. I was out of know there was a party going on. There was a splishing and a splash.
So thanks for all your suggestions.
Moving and a grooving.
Like those a lot. Me and Becky are going to go half and half, and we're going to call up the artists and see what they say. If they'll be on our
I
new...
I don't even know who sings it. You can have this one. You must know who sings it.
I have no idea who
You've
that is.
You've probably got their number in your phone.
Scott Mills.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast. Podcast.
And now some annoying...
We're annoying Matt Fincham.
We're annoying Matt Fincham.
I'm sorry, but it's true. We're annoying Matt Fincham.
We're annoying Matt Fincham.
Just be glad it isn't you. We're annoying Matt Fincham.
On the bed, on the floor, on the towel, by the door, in the tub, in the car, up against the minibar.
Wherever it is, we like to annoy him. Now, you still can't listen to that, can you?
No, it still makes me feel a bit odd.
Part of Matt Fincham's job here at Radio 1 is to book guests for the Chris Moyle Show. So... he gets a lot of offers of guests all the time.
Mm.
Loads of people call Matt and they email him, offering him what they think are amazing guests for the Chris Moyle Show. And some of them they say yes to, and some of them, you know, are a no in a polite way. So, for instance, you know, they'll email or call and go, "Hi, Matt, how about as a guest on the show, Michelle Heaton comes on to talk about her new range of fake tan?" And they go, "That'd be lovely, but... on this occasion, it's a no." Now, one thing the PR people, when they ring up and when they email, what they've started doing is trying to be really chummy with Matt.
Oh, they do. I've been getting these as well.
In what way do they do that?
Well, they're just like really, really friendly, like you, like a friend would be. Like I had one the other day and he was going, "Hi, Becky. I hope you haven't got this cold that's going round. I've been really ill." And then I went on holiday and then I did this and I was like, "I don't think I've ever met you before."
Over-familiar.
Yeah, really over-friendly. Hmm. And then you think, "Oh, have I met you?" And then you read down and it's like, "Would you like to have, I don't know, Richard Madeley on the show?" And it's like, "Oh, I read all about your holiday and what you got up to and stuff."
But I don't know you.
No.
So remember as well, Matt doesn't know these people at all. They're being really over-familiar, really over-friendly. So what I thought we'd do is put this to the test. And my mate Chris called Matt pretending to be from a PR company and being really overly friendly. But how long will Matt put up with it for? Let's find out.
Hello?
Hello, is that Matt?
Yes, it is.
Matt Meister, it's Rob.
Rob who?
Robstar. Robin Hood. You know, Rob.
Rob?
Alec gave me your number.
Yeah, but who do you work for?
Trombone PR.
Trombone PR.
Yeah, I've got a guest for you. Possible guest for you for the Chris Moyle Show. I think it'd be really good. Really good radio. How are you, anyway?
I'm fine, thank you. Who's the guest?
How was your weekend?
It was great, thank you.
What did you get up to?
Well, can you just tell me what guest you'd like to offer?
I'll tell you what, mine was even better. Me and Dave from the office went out with a few of the lads, picked up a couple of lovelies.
So I'm very busy at the moment, so I'm going to hang up.
No, definitely
Thanks
not.
For your time.
No, hang on, Matt. 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 Matt.
So already a bit too much information there. Picked a couple of birds at the weekend.
Well, can you just tell me what guest you'd like to offer?
I'll tell you what, mine was even better. Me and Dave from the office went out with a few of the lads, picked up a couple of lovely...
So I'm very busy at the moment.
Matt didn't really need to know that, but he's just being a PR person. He's being over-friendly. Now, this is about to get even more familiar and about to get even more over-friendly. Now, we've taken out some of the more over-friendly conversation with the noise of a trombone, but rest assured, Matt got the full explanation. Here we go.
Yes?
Matt Meister. Yeah. Sorry about that, mate. It's Rob from Trombone. I'll tell you what, mate. The weekend I've just had, everything's going wrong today. Busy weekend of... You know what I mean?
Do you think I really care? I don't even know who you are.
What are you get up to this weekend?
Never you mind.
I'll tell you what, you should have seen the jubblies on the girl that I saw at the weekend.
Just really overfamiliar there.
You know what I mean?
Do you think I really care? I don't even know who you are.
What you get up to this weekend?
Yeah, the bloke from Trombone PR is telling him pretty much everything he did at the weekend. And now it gets worse.
So anyway, there's me and Dave, and we're just with these girls. I got desk. One of them. I'll tell you what, mate. You should have. You know what I mean? Hello.
Do you know what? You're an incredibly crude man, and I would like it if you didn't call me any. Goodbye.
Just wondering if you want a guest on your show.
Oh.
What's that?
I don't think that's the worst he's had, though.
Really?
No.
Surely there has been someone else has gone into more detail than my mate Chris did.
Hello.
Do you know what? You're an incredibly crude man, and I would like it if you didn't call me any... Goodbye.
Just wondering if you want a guest on your show.
We're annoying Matt Fincham.
We're annoying Matt Fincham.
I'm sorry, but it's true. We're annoying Matt Fincham.
We're annoying Matt Fincham.
Just be glad it isn't you. We're annoying Matt Fincham.
On the bed, on the floor, on a towel, by the door, in the tub, in the car, up against the minibar.
Hello.
Do you know what? You're an incredibly crude man.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Steve Carell is here. Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
And welcome to Radio 1. You've been here before, though, right?
I have.
Mm. Not long ago, I think, with Greg, wasn't it?
Yeah. For
next door.
Date night, perhaps.
That's mm-hmm. right, yeah. Right. You can see us now on the live webcam at bbc.co.uk/radio1 if you want to see Steve Carell as well as hearing him. Me and Becky are both very excited to meet you today because you are a bit of a legend. So if we are over-fawning at any point, just tell us.
I will disappoint you.
And
I guarantee I will.
Don't say
this
that.
Will be disappointing.
You won't. You really. Won't.
Yes.
If we look at you a little bit too long, adoringly, then just fax your people in. Please don't try and freak out, okay?
Very well.
Thank you. Now, I went to see your new movie earlier, Despicable Me.
Yes.
Really good.
Thanks.
An animation that you lend your voice to. And it was my first cinema 3D experience.
Oh, really?
I'd never done that before.
Did it blow your mind?
No, it scared me a little bit because I was three rows from the actual screen. So I was like, at points. But yeah, it was brilliant. And you get the cool glasses. And I left the cinema with them on my head, like sunglasses. Guys forgot that they were on. Because I put my sunglasses on my head a lot, which must have been a really good look as I walked through Leicester Square. But yeah, they were setting up for the premiere last night, which I know you're going to be going to.
That's right.
Do you still enjoy those premieres, turning up, shaking hands, smiling a lot?
Sure. You know, especially with a movie like this that's great and people love and are excited about. So it's much easier with a movie that you completely back.
Yeah.
The ones that you're a little bit reticent about, that's a little bit of a tougher sell.
Okay.
Do you... Are you actually going to watch it? Or are you one of those...
I've already seen it three times.
So you're going to go and
So I will probably not watch it tonight. Mm. I might, though. Mm. I don't know. I really haven't decided yet.
But you do get the option to watch it, do you?
No, they won't let me watch it.
No, you're in it and you're not allowed.
No, you're the
if
main...
you want to see it, you're going to have to go when it's out in a couple of weeks.
You're the main star. Sorry, you're going to have to leave by the back door now. Goodbye. okay. Well, I thought they might just usher you out, you know. But you must have three times. I thought you would have seen it more than that.
I saw it once, incomplete. I saw it in New York, and then we did a special screening for charity, and then I saw it at the premiere.
And you're a villain called Gru in the movie, who has a plan to steal the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's another villain that's sort of nipping at his heels, and
a
younger, more hungry villain.
Yeah,
and so he decides he's going to steal the moon to situate himself on top of the villain heap.
Yeah, but you end up being really nice as a villain in the end, don't you?
Don't give it away, Scott! Oh no!
That's not a plot spoiler.
That may or may not happen.
And everyone's happy. Oh no!
You're such an idiot.
Believe me.
It's brilliant.
It might not be. I'm just saying that you're nice along the way.
If people went to this movie and it had a sad ending, I think there would be riots in the street.
I think you might be right. I like the voice that you assume for the character of Gru. Would you be able to do a little bit for us now?
He's kind of like this. Sort of. I don't know. I haven't done it in a while.
And how do you...
News intro jingle. I'm just reading the back of your monitor. BBC Radio 1!
That's it. How do you decide what voice to do?
You go in and you spend about 5 minutes... the first day, and you say, how about this? And they say, that sounds good. Roll it.
And that's it?
Kind of, yeah.
But you were saying before it took you 3 years to do this?
3 years over, yes. You know, I would do a voiceover session once every several months because they do the animation while you're doing the voiceover. So they animate to the voice. And they'll actually... not unlike these cameras in here, they'll put a camera on you while you're recording, and the animators will watch that, and then they will animate certain expressions that are derived from your performance.
Oh, that's how they do it.
Yeah.
There you go. And Russell Brand does the voice of your kind of assistant bloke?
Yes, he is. He is my evil
henchman. Yeah. But he's a bit bumbling, isn't he?
He is, and he's extremely old.
Yeah.
And you would never know that it's Russell Brand. Never.
You really wouldn't. It's incredible.
It's incredible. He does such a great, great voice.
Did you get to meet him? I mean, you obviously know him, do you?
I've met him once, but not in terms of the movie. Because you do all your taping separately. And
yeah.
Julie Andrews plays my mom in the movie, and I did not meet her during the filming either.
Okay. I think she might be a bit scary, Julie Andrews.
Really?
In
real life?
Julie Andrews?
I think, yeah.
No?
I do. I think I'd be scared to meet her.
No, but she's Mary Poppins. And
I know, but...
You'd be scared because she's so nice.
Is she?
She is. You'd be afraid that your own niceness would pale in comparison. She is that nice.
Wow. Yeah, okay. I'm just thinking about that. Good. Now, even though you're hugely famous, you never seem to be in the gossip mags as such. Is that something you do on purpose?
Well, wait till tonight.
Oh, really?
Going
wait till this
nuts.
Premiere.
I'm going to do some really awful things at the premiere, especially because it's a premiere where there are a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So I really want to take this opportunity to ruin my career.
So tonight's going to be the night.
Tonight's it.
This
tonight's,
is a heads
it's all,
up.
For, it's all going to happen.
For all the paparazzi.
Oh, yeah.
So they can listen to this and think, right, we'll be there about 7:30.
Yeah.
Steve Carell's going to be a Hollywood hellraiser.
Meltdown will be at 7:30.
Oh, incredible. Do photographers follow you everywhere?
No.
They don't?
No.
How do you avoid that?
Because I live near Miley Cyrus, so they just follow Miley Cyrus.
Oh, that's good.
And I might get a few stragglers, but very rarely. Yeah.
Right, so if you live next to someone or near someone like Justin Bieber or Miley Cyrus, that's an amazing decoy because they're too busy at their house.
Yeah, look over there, and then you run the other way.
That's so good. Now, Becky is a massive fan of The Office.
Oh.
And you're leaving, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
And on my Twitter, everybody wants to know why.
My contract's up. After 7 years, and I wanted to honor my contract, and I want to spend more time with my kids. That's really the long and short of it. They're 6 and 9 years old, and...
You do so many episodes. It must take up, like, quite a lot of the...
It does. Well, I'm certainly not complaining. It's been fantastic, but I just, you know, I would like to be able to devote more time to just being a dad right now.
It's not going to be as good, though, is it, with you not in it?
What?
It's not going to be as good.
Oh, I think it'll be as good.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
It's like Simon Cowell leaving American Idol. What's the point of doing that anymore?
You know what? Even though we're whispering, people can still hear.
Oh, yeah.
At home.
Sorry.
People hear everything.
Do you know how you're going to exit the show?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah. I don't know why I'm doing this.
I'm
going
to get close to the mic.
I quite like it.
So no one will know.
Is it going to be a happy ending?
You know what? I would actually like to see a kind of qualified happy ending for him. I would like to, since it's ostensibly a documentary, I would like it to have an element of realism to it. Mm. That it's maybe it's happy, but it's maybe not, you know, going off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Joyously.
Still needs to be realistic.
But depending on how NBC feels about it, that may happen.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Tell me about the DVD thing.
Oh, you know the scene where they're all sat in the boardroom and you're doing your speech and they're watching the kind of screensaver on the DVD
thing?
Oh,
yeah.
That is one of my favourite things. And I went on a course on Monday and we watched the DVD for the first 5 minutes and then he left it on the blimmin' screensaver. And I was just sat there for about 2.5 hours till lunch going, go on, to the corner, go to the corner. Oh!
Never happened.
And when it does finally
do you know
happen,
what? I would have been so excited,
oh,
but it didn't.
Yeah. Everybody goes crazy. Radio
1 Podcasts. I'm getting so much abuse on the text at the moment, going, Scott, you idiot, you've ruined the ending to the film, Despicable Me. I don't think I really have. I think we're pretty safe, Steve, don't you?
It's all a dream.
Yeah.
It was a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And Leo DiCaprio was dreaming.
Have you seen some of the texts?
I'm not going to look.
Oh, God. how many scripts do you get offered, like, over a year?
300. No, I don't know.
Roughly. Ballpark.
I don't know. A few.
Do you have people to filter them for you?
Yes, I have my filter people. People to filter them.
Well, because I have, a lot of them will be rubbish, won't they?
There's a lot of stuff that's not very good. Mm. But, you know, it's... That's always a tough thing to find is a script that's not only good but that you connect with or you want to do or isn't, you know, just like something you've already done. I shot a movie with Julianne Moore and Ryan Gosling that'll come out this spring. That's very, very unique and has a really neat voice to it. And those are the things you look out for.
I guess once you've done one kind of film, then you'll get a load of others that are similar, won't you?
Well, yeah. After 40 Year Old Virgin, there were a bunch of movies similar to that people thought I would be right for. You know, play the innocent guy who wants to lose his virginity.
Let's do that again. How do you know, like, you've read the script, okay, you agree to make the film, and then movies can take a long time, as you've said before, to make.
Right.
How do you know that it's going to be good? Like the finished product is going to be really good.
You never really know. You never know until you see it. And even then, you don't know how other people will respond to it. When we did 40 Year Old Virgin, we were just having fun. We didn't know. We weren't even really making it for anybody. We just thought, this is funny to us. And then at our first test screening, it did very well. And we were all surprised. So you just don't know.
So to a certain extent, you are kind of blagging it. And if it makes you guys laugh, the crew laugh, and it makes the actors laugh, then that's kind of...
That's it.
Your yardstick, really.
That is it. That's the only barometer you have to go on. Because as soon as you start thinking about test screenings and what is going to appeal to a wider demographic, I think you're sunk at that point. You really have to just trust your instincts.
A lot of pressure in it.
You know what? Yes and no. I don't tend to put – I have no control over that, how something will be received. So I try to take that pressure off of myself.
Mm. Is there anything that you have done that hasn't worked out like you expected?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think things happen. We were just talking about The Office before. And when we did that in the U.S., you know, obviously we were up against these insurmountable odds. The BBC version was a template for what good television was all about. And we were just the critics were merciless. And it was tough sort of getting past that and getting them on our side, which they were eventually, but it took some time.
The thing is, I think it's because people were comparing it, and it, it, even though it's the same template, it's quite a different show, isn't it?
It is. It evolved into a different show, and I think Ricky wanted it to be a different show. He didn't want it to be just a duplicate or a carbon copy of his show.
But Ricky Gervais says that he thinks that it's right for you to leave as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he has. He emailed me when I made that announcement, and he's totally supportive. He's been a great guy, very gracious and supportive all the way along.
How much input did he have into the U.S. series?
He sort of remained low-keyed. He did not... He came initially to kind of give us his voice of support, and he and Stephen Merchant wrote one episode, and Stephen came and directed one. But other than that, I think the producers would send him cuts, and he would give comments if he felt like he wanted to, but he really kept a low profile.
Left you alone a bit.
He did. He really did.
Oh, that's really good.
He supported us.
And he's happy with the show, obviously, the way it turned out.
I believe so. He's been nothing but great to us and really kind. So that's okay. What we had to go on.
Must be very strange to leave that show after such a long time.
It is. It's bittersweet, too, because those we're all very close. And over the 7 years, we've become extremely good friends. So I feel like I'm walking away from that, you know.
Yeah. You have a big party though, won't you?
Big party. That's when all of the paparazzi stuff's gonna happen.
Oh, is it? Oh, tonight,
it's either tonight
well.
Or that last party.
Okay. And when do you think that party will be? Just roughly.
And can we come, please?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Okay, thank you.
I'd love to have a big party in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
What's it like there? Is it really as bad as
no,
you can't really say
no. Actually, it's
because my boyfriend really wants to go. He's like, we must go to Scranton. I was like, really? What's actually going to be there?
No, it's a very pretty town. It's not. I think people would be surprised. And it was never the aim of the show to have any sort of derision towards Scranton.
In the same way that the UK Slough was never supposed to be a derogatory thing. I don't think. I thought maybe we should go to Scranton altogether. I'm imagining there'll just be like a strip mall there and some shops. What else is there? Anything good?
The town hall.
Okay, good.
And some nice stores and restaurants.
You know,
it's a nice little sort of Pennsylvania city.
Oh. A lot of our listeners are texting in saying they're excited about the possibility of Anchorman 2.
As am I. I hope at some point somebody pulls a trigger on that.
Okay.
I talked to Will Ferrell about it, and their idea for Anchorman 2 was to do it as a Broadway musical.
Oh, my God.
and then segue from that into do like a, you know, an 8-month run of a musical, and then from that go and shoot the sequel, shoot a movie.
Okay. So musical first and then the sequel.
Right.
Wow.
But apparently the studio doesn't want to do it. They're not behind it, at least at this point. So maybe someday.
I was reading that, Christina Applegate was saying that everybody is already on board and everyone's signed up to do it. And so
everybody wants to do it. And everybody has said, you know, we'll do it for, you know, nobody's looking to make money off of it. That's really not the point. I think everyone just had so much fun that first time that we would all jump at the chance.
Okay. And what about any other of your movies, too? Some people are saying Date Night 2, maybe.
Date Night 2. Yeah, sure. We'll do Date Night 2. 40-Year-Old Virgin 2.
Despicable Me 2.
45-Year-Old Whore.
Brilliant. Well, I can't wait for that one. So what happens from here? You're going to go off and get spruced up for the premiere for tonight?
I'm spruced.
Are you spruced?
This is as spruced as
it gets. Look smart. Absolutely.
I'm totally spruced.
Okay. So he's going to go meet the fans?
Yes.
Yeah. And then the crazy thing will happen that you were talking about
yes.
earlier.
Yes, the crazy thing.
About 8 o'clock?
It's coming
2
up.
2 hours from now.
Okay.
2 hours and 5
Get ready,
minutes.
Paps. Get
ready.
Get ready
for the crazy thing.
Steve Carell, thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure.
Go and see Despicable Me. It's good. Thank you, Steve.
You'll love the ending.
The ending is particularly good.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
A bit tired today, Becla.
Sorry, I was trying to
You keep zoning out on me.
I know, I mean, I didn't get any sleep last night.
If you know what I mean.
No, I've got really noisy neighbours. Not like that
Didn't get much sleep last night, know what I mean. Finished. What's going on with your neighbours?
They're just, basically, we've got, I think we've got students for neighbours, and they've been, it's been quiet all summer, and I think they've just moved back in. Oh my God, they don't ever sleep, and they're so loud. And last night, Tina's boyfriend's dumped her, and the X Factor hadn't recorded on the box.
Oh, you heard all of this?
Do you know, but they have all their conversations outside in the courtyard. So it's like, oh, I thought we were calling X Factor, but we didn't. It's not on the box. I don't know what you're going to do. And it's like, is Tina all right? What's wrong with her? Oh, he's such an idiot. And it's like, oh my God, it's 5 a.m, seriously.
Wow.
I don't need to know about Tina and her boyfriend and the X Factor not recording. Then they found it from somewhere. They had to play...
It sounds brilliant, this. I really want to know about Tina and her boyfriend.
Oh, it was all going off. I sort of...
Can you provide us with constant updates through the week?
Well, do you know what?
Or record it, even better.
Well, my boyfriend was going to go down there tonight and set up so that when they got back from wherever they've been today, set up like a massive TV rig. So like loads of camera, like getting like loads of big TV lights.
As you do.
Well, no, just getting loads of big TV, because this is not the first time this has happened. Have I moaned about this before? I have. Do you remember last time when I was...
I'm just interested to where he's going to get access to a massive TV rig this late in the day.
No, get some big lights in, get like a woman in a headset and a clipboard, and then just film it all, like just go for it. And action. Sorry, can you just repeat that bit again? Sorry, what happened with your boyfriend?
Yeah, it could be like The Only Way is Essex. Oh, no, God.
That is good.
Did you
that
see
is
that?
Good. I was only allowed to watch like 2 minutes of it before my boyfriend went, oh my God, no, I can't. But I thought, this is amazing. It's so good. Is it acting? I can't work out. Is it acting or is it...
Well, here's the thing. If you saw this last night, I don't know whether you did, it's on ITV2. It's called The Only Way is Essex. It's a bit...
Theme tune of Yaz.
Yes.
I love it.
It's a bit like what they tried to do with The Hills, whereas it does say at the beginning, these people are real people and their situations are real. However, some of the action has been maybe tweaked for your entertainment or something like that.
Do you know what? I think I saw a bit where they'd been told to act... or make it more obvious what they were doing.
Was it with the two blokes?
Yeah.
The two blokes are the worst, I think.
Have we got any clips of it? Is there clips of it?
Yeah, we do have some, actually. Let's have a look. Yeah.
Because there was, well, I think I turned on it, it was like, hello, how are you?
So
I'm good.
They're real life people, but
are
obviously,
they?
Yeah, no,
they're
not actors, no.
Okay, so but, these
but
people are
some scenes may be slightly staged for entertainment purposes. Okay, and this I think might be one of them.
Hello, honey.
Hello.
What have you been up to?
Yeah, I've just been there. He was like, oh, can you come and see me quick?
Yeah.
So I went down there. I was swimming for ages, and he's like, come in, you help out the door.
What's the occasion then? At Sugar Hut?
Lauren's birthday.
Is it really? What's your name for a birthday? Like, she's got a table.
Don't know, probably.
Now, that is good acting.
That's really good.
That is good.
Well, you can tell it's kind of acting because they go into way too much detail
yeah.
Everything.
Absolutely.
It's like, so, what are you doing tonight for Lauren's birthday? You know, the one at the Sugar Hut. Mm. Oh, yes, that one.
Yeah. Here's another phone conversation. Like I say, some of it may be just slightly tweaked for entertainment purposes.
Hello.
You all right, Mark?
All right.
Why haven't you rung me back?
I've been busy, Lauren.
What's the matter anyway? You cool?
Yeah, I'm alright. Just a bit annoyed with you.
However, I couldn't stop watching it. I'm addicted to this now. It's on again on Wednesday. I'll be there. Do you know who I want to see most?
No.
Mark's nan. When she arrived. Now, who wouldn't want a nan?
Bit.
Who wouldn't want a nan that arrives with a plate of sausage rolls and she's done your ironing? Now, that is a good grandmother. Here she is.
Hello, Mark, all right? I bought you some sausage plates.
Oh, lovely, my favourite. How are you doing?
Lovely, you.
Love you.
Oh, I could murder a sausage plat.
I love a sausage plat.
They're quite 80s, aren't they?
Really? She's had a whole tray of them.
This is show... that the first thing you learn to make in school, like cheese straws and sausage plats?
In Essex, yeah. So it's ITV2 on Wednesday. I'm going to be watching. Just to see Mark's nan turn up with the sausage plats again, which I hope she does in every episode.
Hello, Mark, all right? I bought you some sausage plats.
Oh, lovely, my favourite. How you doing?
Lovely, you.
Love you.
Rest assured, that would have still happened if the cameras weren't there.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcasts.
Let's do some innuendo bingo. Simon's been on saying, how am I supposed to grab some water? Shall I put it in a cup first? Yeah, put it in a cup. Don't be like that, please. I know you're in a mood because it's Monday. Get some water from a cup, drink it, hold it in your mouth, okay? And then let's see if you spit it out for the innuendo bingo. You ready, Becky?
Uh-huh.
Got the water there?
Mm-hmm.
Got the bin on standby?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, play along at home. First of all, this one's sent to us by Joe. Thanks for spotting this. It's from Radio 4's The World Tonight, which is a news programme where they tell you what's happening in the world tonight. Don't spit it out now, not even funny. And here they are talking about new Labour Shadow Home Secretary Ed Balls. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ed Balls. Ed Balls. Ready?
I haven't heard from Ed, but I'm sure he's going to bring a lot of energy. And I think Theresa may have a few sleepless nights with Ed in that position.
There we go. First one in the bin.
Only a bit came out. I swallowed the rest.
Theresa may have a few sleepless nights with Ed in that position.
Right. Next, it's Nigella. Let's face it, that show is one long bit of innuendo. Mm.
Which one is it? When she was making the fajitas?
I don't know. Gravy has sent this one in. Thanks, Grave.
Mm.
Ready? Got the water?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
It's a very artistic package you have there, if you don't mind my saying so.
I just got a bit overexcited by the chicken. They are so good.
I'm glad you like my pajamas. You want to come again, I hear?
Please. So good.
The amount of times you had to reach for the bin then was brilliant. There's so much.
She gets extra points for having like four innuendos in one.
In one clip. That's just one bit of the show. That's amazing. Love you, Nigella. Now we head over to Bill and Sian on BBC.
Oh, they can't do anything.
You say that. They're finding a way to beat Daybreak in the ratings, and this is how they do it. You ready?
Mm-hmm,
take some water in your gob.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Back to you, Ben. Bill.
It's only been...
Bill, isn't it?
How many years has it been? How many years?
I know. Did I just call you Ben? There are too many Bens on the programme. I've got Ben right here. I've got Ben. I know. I've got Ben Page.
You better bring something nice back from Birmingham for that, I can tell you. All right. Ben.
I've got a muffin.
That wasn't even a really good one.
You better bring something nice back from Birmingham for that, I can tell you. All right. Ben.
I've got a muffin.
Okay.
She's so proud.
Now, over to Gardener's Question Time. Pippa, thank you for sending this one in. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
More water. You're running out.
Mm-hmm.
How do I measure the volume of a leak? You have to ask why. He's asking on behalf of his dad, who lives in County Durham, who grows and shows leeks. Now we're getting down to it. He thought there was some mathematical formula involving the use of pi.
Cylinder.
Yeah, it's a cylinder, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the diameter times... the height, isn't it? But what that's just the shaft, that big round shaft. So he'd measure the height, which is probably 25 inches or something. It sounds like he's a good grower.
More. We've got more from Gardner's Question Time. Ready? Still got some in?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how they judge it then? I thought it was just on the look and the size
and uniformity of
it. They don't go by volume?
They do measure the girth. But I don't know. I think it's actually more likely to be the girth, because there's no way that you're going to be spending time sort of working, like, computing that in your head. Or it's just easier to do the girth and the quality, isn't it?
Mm.
Are you doing well?
Is it all right on girth?
Okay.
You'll need to take it in the bath with him, Sam. That's the answer.
If it's a decent one, he won't get in the bath with it.
I can't be too big for the bath.
Projectile.
How big is it?
In the bin.
You don't get leaks bigger than a bath, do you?
One more, please.
Don't fill the bath full of tepid water, you know, elbow in the water, and then laid it in there and just very gently washed it and then dabbed it dry with a towel. And the most...
Put some baby powder on it.
Yeah, that's baby oil. It was rubbing it with baby oil I found extraordinary.
Didn't eat it, though.
That was the one that went. You're right.
Seriously? A leek that big? I'm a big fan of, like, massive vegetables at country shows.
Me too.
I've never seen one bigger than a bath.
No, you can fit most in a bath. OK, one more sip, please.
You can't have more.
This is from...
40 of those.
Bruce Forsyth on Strictly Come Dancing. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got the water in?
Mm-hmm.
Right, OK, Alicia, finish yourself, darling.
Bruce?
Hmm?
You don't expect that from Bruce.
Right, OK, Alicia, finish yourself, darling. 40 of those.
Still very excited about the next episode of The Only Way is Essex on ITV2. How many minutes did you get in before your boyfriend told you to switch it off?
Only about two. It was when he was interviewing someone for the job.
Ah, the job interview, that's right. Do you want to hear that?
Yeah.
Hello, babe.
You are, honey?
You're not really nice. Mm-mm.
Where are you, hon?
How you been, all right?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, sit down.
Cheers.
What have you been up to?
Oh, honey, I've been so busy. Loads of stuff.
Your hair looks nice.
Do you like it?
Yeah,
I've changed a bit of the colour. I've got a bit more redder.
No, it looks really nice.
Like
it? Yeah, a bit busy.
So why do you only see me today?
Just about doing a bit of work for Sugar Up, to be honest.
Doing what?
Literally, all I need is you at the front door.
Yep.
Guest list, greeting people, saying hello. Literally, the names that come off, tick them off.
Yeah.
And then greeting them, maybe after that, like a bit of champagne reception. You know, just giving the people champagne.
What have I got to wear?
Something like that, just sexy.
Yeah.
You know?
Just sexy, yeah.
That's the best job interview ever.
This is a show where they follow people around Brentwood, and they're real people, honestly. They really are like this, but some of the action and entertainment may be tweaked slightly for entertainment purposes. That what I'm saying is some of it is blatantly a bit made up. I think what they do is they put them in situations and then see...
Tell you what to say.
Yeah.
So what did you last night, babe? Oh, God, I went to the gym and Mark and Argent were in there. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you look nice. I said to him, oh, you didn't say hello to me on Saturday, did you? And he goes, oh, no, you know what it's like when Lauren's there, like, can't always say hello. But what's the big deal?
So I was spray tanning her.
Yeah.
And as I was doing that, she had a little tattoo there.
Really?
Mark.
It's strangely addictive. Podcast. Now, I'd quite like, if it's all right with you, to have a quick trip to Stupid Street.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's go.
What is the sexiest name around, do you think?
Oh, I don't
know. Sexiest name.
I don't know. Ones that sound hot in French accent. I don't know. It all depends about... You can think a name is really sexy and then you meet somebody who you really don't like with that name and you're like, ew, don't like it anymore.
True that.
It is always related to people that you know, isn't it? And people that you've met once.
My theory is...
Oh, no.
If you can imagine Craig David singing it in one of his songs, then that passes the sexy test. Do you know what I'm saying?
Hmm. I'm not usually the type to speak my mind. Might be rude of me, but just...
Heather, Samantha... Becky,
Scott, doesn't work. No. See,
mine is not a sexy name.
The one that doesn't speak.
The one that doesn't speak.
Tulip's a good one.
Tulip, Zane Lowe. No, not so much. Anyway, so we asked people on Sheepy Street, what is the sexiest name for someone? I'll give you a point and make you a cup of tea tomorrow if you can think of any that they said.
Cheryl.
Oh, good answer, yeah.
Cheryl.
Not so much.
Or Chuck Bass.
Chuck Bass.
Yeah. Or Ed Westwick.
Chuck is not a sexy name. It's just because...
Ed is, though.
Ed. Mm. Edward.
Not so much Edward.
Jedward.
No, not Jedward.
All right, let's find out what they think the sexiest name for somebody is on Stupid Street.
So I want to know what you think is the sexiest name for someone.
Sexiest? I think Tommy is sexy.
Tommy?
Yeah, that's my name.
It's my dad's cat.
I want to know what you think is the sexiest name for someone.
A ring.
What was that?
It's got to have a ring to it, and it can't be... one syllable, and it's got to be kind of exotic. So I'm thinking somewhere along the lines of Lucy. I've been a lonely man. Lucy.
Yeah, it works, that.
What do you think is the sexiest name for someone? Dave. I just want to know what you think is the sexiest name for someone.
Rachel.
Rachel!
Four. Works in a song.
I just want to know what you think is the sexiest name for someone.
Clarissa.
Clarissa.
Yeah.
What's sexy about Clarissa?
It's a bit tardy.
So you like the tardy name, do you?
Yeah, a bit of a tardy name.
Love it.
Something Latin is very nice. Like Danielle or something like that for a gentleman. Very nice.
Is that a Subo?
For a gentleman, Danielle.
I want to know what you think is the sexiest name for someone.
I kind of like Jason.
Jason?
Hmm.
Okay, what do you like about the name Jason? What makes it sexy?
Well, I don't know, really. It just sounds nice when he just rolls off the tongue.
Jason.
What's this song from?
Seriously, where are we finding these
this
songs?
This is the one that doesn't speak on his guitar.
Is this from your record collection? Do you have Jason on CD? You actually do?
This is my love for you.
Jason. OMG.
Sexiest name song. I don't like these ridiculous new names that are coming out. Like the kind of Mercedes and the people that are named after like towns and countries. I think that's getting beyond ridiculous. If you're named after a bridge or a city or a country, get out. Just give up. I quite like traditional names. But I quite like foreign names as well, but again, yeah. Eastern European names are pretty sexy.
Can give me an example of a name you like?
Quite exotic, like Małgorzata. It's quite a good name.
Wow, is that an actual name?
A Polish girl that I used to know. That's a good name.
Was she a sexy girl?
Very, yeah. Most Europeans are, though. Well, you get them in two types. You get the really cute ones, then you get the kind of shot put throwers. They come in two categories, really.
You're a lovely guy.
Thanks very much.
So you get the sexy ones, and then you get the shot put throwers.
I'm so pleased I don't know that man.
Oh, my God. You get them all on Stupid Street.
If you're named like a town, get out.
Get out.
If you just give up now, if you're named after a car.
Wow. And that, ladies and gentlemen, were the people of Stupid Street. I don't think any of yours were in there.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.